This is Jonathan Melville at ScottishFilms.com, the Creative Scotland-funded website which allows film professionals to watch short films made in Scotland and keep up to date with developments in the Scottish film industry. This podcast is the first in a short series of interviews I carried out at the Encounters Film Festival in Bristol in November 2011, and it features Glasgow-based animator Jessica Ashman, who recently won the award for Best Animation at the Scottish BAFTAs for her short film Fixing Luca. I asked Jessica about the process that went into making Luca, her background in filmmaking, and some of her future projects. We'll be publishing more interviews from Encounters over at ScottishFilms.com in the next few weeks, but in the meantime, here's my chat with Jessica in the rather noisy Delegate Centre at Encounters. So I'm sitting here in the Delegate Centre of Bristol's Watershed with Jessica Ashman, who's the director of Fixing Luca, the BAFTA Scotland award-winning Fixing Luca. And I just wanted to ask you, first of all, Jessica, what are you doing at Encounters?
I'm at Encounters because Fixing Luca is in competition here in one of the animation categories. So me and the producer, Anna O'Dell, and Ashley Black, production coordinator at Digicult, have come down to kind of support it and wave tiny Fixing Luca flags at the back row. So that's why I'm down. And also to check out some of the other animations and just see what's going down, networking events, all that business. So
Fixing Luca has, it, as I mentioned at the start of the year, won a Scottish BAFTA the other night. How are you feeling after that?
Oh, really? Pretty good. It's quite surreal. So I didn't really expect it to happen. But it's fab, it's fantastic. Just getting lots of congrats, and I don't know, I guess just see what happens, see where it leads, and see if it opens some doors, which I'm hoping it will.
I suppose the most basic question really is to ask, where did Fixing Luca come from? You know, when did it all start, and where?
The idea I've had for a while, the film is based on experiences I had with my younger brother, who has autism. So I kind of had this idea of like kind of the experiences, the frustrations I had as a kid of thinking that my brother was broken and how, you know, why he wasn't normal, why he was different to everybody else. So I kind of just sort of thought of this, had this sort of story in mind loosely around these experiences. And then when Digicult had their call out for stories, for film ideas for the digital shorts scheme in 2010, I thought I'll try and just kind of cobble something together, like a kind of page outline from all these bits and scenes and stories, and sent it off, and then was selected. And that was it, really. I kind of developed the story and the script and the world with Digicult over the next few months.
And where were you when you wrote that sort of picture or brief?
I was based in Glasgow then. I was working, I just finished a kind of animation apprenticeship scheme. I moved up to Scotland for that, actually. It was run by Scottish Screen back then, Creative Scotland now. And I was kind of getting work experience. So I kind of knew of Digicult and sort of what they were doing. And I was basically just doing freelance stuff, you know, in between projects, i.e. being employed, unemployed even, and just trying to find my way, but also developing and writing at the same time. And so, yeah, this was a good opportunity to kind of, you know, get my arse into gear and just submit the story I had in my head for a while.
And had you been working with Digicult at that point? And can you tell us a little bit about what Digicult do for people who maybe don't know much about them?
I hadn't worked with Digicult before, but that's a lie, I just said that. I helped out on, they had a short stop motion film called Battenberg, which was also nominated this year in the Scottish BAFTAs. And that I was doing kind of post-production cleanup work because I became friends with Anna O'Dell, who was the producer of that short. And I worked with her a bit on this apprenticeship scheme as a work experience placement. So we were friends, and then she knew I did stop motion and kind of brought me on board for that. And that was like me just helping out. I wasn't paid. I was just wanted to kind of, you know, help out. And that's how I found out about Digicult, because Anna knew some people there and I knew about the scheme and all that. And then, but Digicult in general, they're a sort of a talent development production company, quite heavily vested in story. So when I was picked with my story, at the very, very beginning it was called Fall Into Position, and then it changed to Ramshackle. But as I developed the story, all the development was always story-based with digital. There was workshops. So, like, kind of before sort of the world of Fixing Luca, this kind of crafted, handmade world, it was all about the story. So for about 5 months I was doing all these scraps, all these drafts of scripts, or outlines and then scripts and so on and so on. And I think that's what they do mainly. And all their shorts have kind of gone through a similar process from what I know of. I don't want to just make up stuff about digital. But yeah, very, very story vested as a company.
Okay, so you, as you say, you put together the sort of brief document.
Mm-hmm.
You submitted it. Did you have to go in and pitch the ideas and develop any further? Or?
There was no pitching, thank God, which I'm still quite new to as a new director. No, what we had to do was we developed our scripts and then kind of give a treatment document. And in my case, I had like illustrations and mood boards and look and feels of the world. And submitted that as kind of part of my I guess pitch without me standing up and talking about it, and that seemed to, well, I hope seal the deal, or maybe the story as well, hopefully both. But there was no official kind of standing up and pitching. I don't actually know if I could have done that. I probably would have messed it up in some way or form. But I think because they're so story. Sort of heavy in digital, there wasn't really this emphasis for having to pitch it, you know. I think the scripts were what they would choose, they would commission on, really, the kind of the stories. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, are we able to put a little bit of a sort of timeline on that as well? I mean, roughly when did you kind of get the nod that yes, they loved the idea and they wanted to go with it?
That was this was all mostly last year, so
really recent then.
Yeah, quite recently, and it was June. Yeah, I think it was June when they sort of gave the nods, and that was from January. I found out I'd been selected as one of the 10 filmmakers as part of their talent pool.
Right.
And out of that 10, they chose 4 productions to commission. So we were all kind of. I've described it in the past as an X factor for film,
right.
Short film, because there was like, you know, stages where you could go and all that. But it was June when they sort of said, right, okay, go make it now.
What was the scheme called again?
National Digital Shorts, because the same scheme ran in all the kind of screen agencies around the country,
okay,
with varying budgets and expectations, I guess. So there would be kind of events organised where I'd meet people from Screen West Midlands and Screen South West who had been kind of successful for similar schemes, and we all came for like a story workshop for a day in London, and it was interesting. That was quite good, actually.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I mean, sometimes, you know, with these sort of things, you hear it's a budget. You know, you're given a sum of money,
yeah,
and then off you go make it. I mean, was it that? Was it like, here's some money, or was it a case of, we'll actually help you develop ideas, or we'll develop a script, or develop how you work? Was there any of that involved, or was it?
From the get-go, it was quite sort of certain as to you will have a budget between so and so and so such amount and such a.
Are you allowed
amount.
To say, or is it all a bit?
I could say. I mean,
if you it want was to, yeah. I mean,
well, for Fixing Luca, it was 14,000.
Okay.
I think it varies as well.
Depending on the project.
The project, yeah, and I guess the funders, because for me, there was UK Film Council and BBC Scotland and Creative Scotland as well. I think that's all the funders. That's the side I don't know.
Right.
Like how that works. But
is that where your producer comes in?
Yeah.
Deals with that side,
yes.
Of it, right. She'd have her here as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she.
But that's interesting because you sort of left to get on with the creative stuff, which is
what
you do.
Yeah, which
best.
Is good. I remember actually Anna said something to me, which was like, I was getting really worried about contacting crew, and I found out I'd been commissioned. I was like, right, so used to doing everything yourself because you're an animator, or a filmmaker in general, starting out. And I was like, right, I'll contact so-and-so. I think Anna said something which was like, you know, your job is to like create it, and my job is to make it happen.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is nice. I had quite a lot of freedom in that sense. And when it came to the you know, actually from June, they were like, right, go make it. That was it. I kind of had sort of free range, I guess, in a way. I was always bouncing ideas off with Anna as well. She is very much a creative producer and developing the world in that sort of sense. And as I was writing the story as well, like, kind of came to the point when it came to the commission, I knew just what that world was, like, kind of what the characters looked and felt like. And I'd been drawing and sort of designing, but I'd never, like, you know, I guess sometimes animation falls into that trap where you get so vested in what it looks like and get really into this world because you're doing something so illustrative, be it 2D animation or stop motion or kind of CG, you kind of forget about the story. But because of a scheme, I was very much told to work on story, and it pays off. Like, if that story works and everything else falls into place. So I kind of, in that sense, I had quite free range for the design and things like that, which is great, which is very good.
And I suppose another kind of basic question really is around the funding. I mean, if you hadn't had that money, would you be able to make the film? You know,
No.
No, I mean, what is the, when it comes to that sort of area, how do you?
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you can do things on your own back, which I have, and when I was at uni doing an animation degree. And
well, can you tell us a little bit about your background? You know, getting to Fixing Luca sort of stage.
Well, it was, I did an animation degree from University of Lincoln, and that was kind of a thing where you were sort of left to your own devices in a good way. I had to sort of really get to grips in terms of what I want as a director, like what sort of star and what way I want to lean as a director and an animator. So I tried all different sort of things, like 2D animation and stop motion is where I fell in love with. And that was, but that's kind of in the sort of, not the confines, it's quite freeing to make a student film, but within the limited budgets you have as a student film. So, but so something like Fixing Luca, I would not have been able to made in uni, just because it was a bit epic, really. But after I graduated, I kind of did that thing every graduate does, is spam everyone with my contacts and showreel, and was kind of looking for every company connected to media. Like, didn't matter what it was, like animation as well. But I was like, right, I need a foot in the door anyway, anyhow. And I ended up getting this placement with BBC Wales, with a development, kind of media development agency in Cardiff called Cofla, which is Welsh for, what's it Welsh for? It's Welsh for, oh, I know, I can't remember, that's rubbish. What a rubbish anecdote. It's Welsh for something.
We'll Google it in a minute.
Yeah, we'll Google it. It's something, probably something like help, or, you know,
right,
or like,
right.
And they were great. It was kind of like this intense, like, BBC Wales new media thing where I would work in the web design department and in the illustration department, and I kind of just like did animation on the side, kind of tried to force it in there, and it was a very good it was a year I did, and that
what sort of year was that?
That was 2000, well, I graduated in 2007 and started that in September 2007, so it was quite soon after I graduated, and that was good. It was just good as an eye-opener for the industry, because obviously it's quite different from an undergrad animation degree to a real working place with big budgets and people you have to work with.
Get in the real world, really.
Exactly, exactly. The real creative industry world.
Did you learn quite a lot from that then?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. It was very good. It was good just to, like I say, to work with people, like a crew, and kind of a lot of project management and things like that. I had quite a lot of access to BBC sort of computers, their design programs. So I was doing that sort of stuff on the fly, on the side. But the thing is, it wasn't really filmmaking, which is what I just kept drawing myself back to. It's what I wanted to do. So I kind of did the whole fat finish. I did the whole job hunt again, spamming everyone. And I applied to this animation apprenticeship scheme I'd mentioned before. Uh-huh. And that took me to Glasgow, Edinburgh and Glasgow. And then that's kind of where everything kicked off, really. And I was getting work experience in the BBC. And I got work experience with a motion graphics design studio, ISO, which is based in the city centre of Glasgow, which was fab, and where I met Anna. And that was very, like, very slick title design and kind of museum experiences. And then I also got work experience on BBC Scotland's animated kids show called Ooglies, which pretty much is what most of the crew are from on Fixing Luca. It was all the lovely, lovely people I met. Apart from the James Houston, who was the amazing sort of CGI tech visual effects guy in Fixing Luca, who I poached from ISO, who I met at ISO. And then that was it. And then Digicult happened. So it's all kind of, Scotland's been quite good for me in general. And it's such an inclusive community, well, the animation community especially. Everyone seems to kind of, you know, help me out, you know, mention my name or whatever. So that's been very good so far.
Brilliant. And just coming back to Luca again. So it was kind of at the end of last 2010 that you finished the film then?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. It took us right to the end of the year, from June to December. A bit into January, where we did the grades. We went down to a post house called Dirty Lux in London, ran by a guy called Tom Balquill, who is brilliant. That was the first time I did a grade, and I didn't really know existed in film. You can colour your own films in your sort of rudimentary software, which I did. But it's not on any level compared to professional film grading. So that was.
Well, it looks great. I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Thank you.
I mean, I was watching it earlier today. I mean, does the style? I mean, I'm not an animation expert, I'll admit, but is it stop motion? That's what I imagine it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of. Yeah. Is that the technical term?
Yeah, that's what I call it. Stop motion good. Or stop frame. Sometimes people call it puppet animation, which is a bit deceptive because it's like, it makes you think of like Muppets kind of Sesame Street type thing. But that's, some people call it that. So
it took, I mean, roughly again, how long? So did you say June you started it, and June, then to the end of the year?
Yeah, June we started. We kind of,
it was about 6 or 7 months, is it?
Yeah, and there's about 2 months of animating in a darkened room, in a
painstaking.
Yeah, it was just me and Ruin Seuss, who was the DOP, and I would. It was like a turning like some sort of marriage, because I would just be me animating and looking all cranky. And then I'd finish the shot, and then like Room would help me set it up and light it and do his DOP magic, and then he'd go. And it was just his like clockwork machine. Anna would come in occasionally to check up on us. And we just bash it out. I had no weekends for about 2 months, so just did it. And but it was good, yeah. It was really intense, but it was good. And before about June to like kind of August, beginning of August, we were building sets and models and designing.
All in Glasgow?
Yeah. The model maker, Judith Johnston, she was the head model maker. So she made the puppets. She kind of supervised the sets from my designs. And she was amazing. She's incredibly talented and just gave me... I'm a stop motion animator and have made my own puppets in the past, because you kind of have to if you want to just do it, just kind of do animation in your bedroom. But Judith is on another level. So I learned a lot from her, you know, improved my skills as a model maker too, which was good.
And was there always a kind of plan, a distribution plan for when it finished? Or was it a case of see what happens? I mean, how does that work?
Again, I'm maybe a kind of mixture of the two, I guess.
I guess you're maybe not so close to it, but
I'm a little bit clueless to that. Like,
right, okay.
I only just learned that you should have like a festival strategy, like you should be able to know who to send it to, what festivals might do this award. And my approach was just send it to everyone, like anyone who mentions it, here you go, here's a copy, have it. And people were like, no, you gotta keep it close to your chest, and you'll make people want it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we should do that. But there was a plan in terms of a festival plan of, we'll, you know, kind of keep an eye on the festivals. We've got this massive, epic Excel document with all the festivals and dates and the deadlines and stuff like that. And I guess maybe we hoped that a sales agent would pick it up. And then one did. It was we entered into this competition called Best British Short Film. And we win the prize was being represented by Candela, who are a short film representation agency, I guess. And they kind of would help send it out to festivals and give it a bit of exposure. So it won that in June, of this year, so that which is fab, and hopefully will help to spread fixing Luca words to the world.
Yeah.
But I guess as a plan, it's kind of hard if you don't really have a lot of money. There wasn't much money left to sort of do that, and I think it's always something, now if I'm thinking of a film, it's definitely something I will keep in mind, because just the cost of some festivals you have to pay for, the cost of sending stuff out, and you know, make kind of printing and marketing a website. I think it's something to definitely keep in mind. It's not nowadays, I think, especially, I mean, maybe even just the website, I think it's quite important.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I mean, online distribution or online promotion and fan, you know, do you have a Facebook page with fans
yeah,
and a Twitter following?
Yeah, totally
things?
Got on that. Well, I mean, me and Anna, not so much now because she's done something good and left Facebook, which is, I approve. I'm a bit of a love-hate thing with Facebook, but we've got a Facebook page, we've got a Twitter page, we've got a website, we've got a Flickr where we put all the production stills on and the publicity stills, like shots from the film, and I think it helps. So it certainly helps to spread the word, to let people know festivals when it's out, and just good news. And people go to the website, they can see and they can link, everything links to each other. So we haven't really looked into putting it online fully, because there's still a kind of a strange thing world with festivals not wanting to submit, accept your film if it's online sometimes,
yeah,
or awards or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we haven't put it online fully. We've made a trailer.
No, there's a short trailer, isn't there?
Yeah, which I think is a good idea, at least to spread the word online. In fact, we should have done that earlier, I think. But, you know, in hindsight, you kind of live and learn, but I think it certainly helps. Although it would be good if you could put it online fully as well and not have to worry about the impacts. Because I think an audience is an audience. People will watch it. And it's a different experience to watching something online on your computer or your laptop or whatever to a big immersive cinema space.
Well, very much. I mean, this festival, I was watching some films this morning, and with an audience, it's just a different experience, isn't it? You just get a different...
Exactly.
Like any film, really.
Definitely, exactly.
I mean, do you have any views in particular? I mean, I was listening to a talk earlier,
mm-hmm,
and the view very much was that short filmmakers are only really looking towards a feature film.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is that what's your kind of mindset? You know, do you think you'd love to keep making the short films, or yes, it's a feature film, multi-million-dollar budget? Or
I think there was some truth in that. I think it'd be quite silly to not want to do a feature film, to be honest. I mean, everything that is in a short film, but bigger and more money, I mean, that would be brilliant. I wouldn't want to do shorts forever, but I love the, I think that, not to say you can write off shorts, it's like, that's just nothing in my career, you know. But I think they're quite important, because I think it's helping me at least. I don't think I'd be ready to maybe write my first feature as of yet, but I think it definitely helps with story, like just to know what you're doing. If you can do it on a smaller scale, you know, it should hopefully work on a longer scale. And I think you know, it's an attitude which you can understand why that attitude exists, but it's not something which you should use to write a short film.
No, not at all. And do you think, I mean, I maybe in a slight sort of dream world sometimes when it comes to saying I think that short films should be shown in front of feature films, you know,
the
cinema.
Definitely.
And of course, again, in this chat earlier, they were saying audiences just don't really want to spend the time waiting 10 minutes more to see the film.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if places like, I mean, in Scotland, my reference is kind of the Film House and Cameo,
sure,
and the GFT,
sure,
and maybe
sure,
Dundee. It'd be nice if they, you know, that we're, I'm trying to push them into it on here.
I mean, you should.
But it would be nice, maybe once a week or something. I don't know, to try that. But
well, sometimes I've seen it a few times. I think actually Battenberg was screened in front of a town called Panic. This lovely stop motion, really strange, quirky stop motion film. And Battenberg is wonderfully quirky, so it kind of works. I mean, it just seems to make sense. Like, if you mar it to a film which is similar, you know?
Well, Pixar shorts.
Exactly.
You know, the people love those.
Exactly.
I realise they're a...
It works in the same way, yeah, I think. And it's a shame because it's supporting sort of the new directors, you know, the future. So it's something which should happen. I think, you know, it used to.
Yeah.
Mum will tell me that it used to, but...
Well, you do wonder, you know, if... you know, certainly in Scotland, I mean, again, that's where we're... I guess we're both based.
Yeah.
But you've got that... the thing, if you know, if we want to see new Scottish filmmakers, a lot of times that's where they are. They're starting with the shorts.
Yeah, so exactly. And everyone knows this, so it seems kind of strange that you would like deny it. Because that's the other thing. I absolutely love festivals and I love Encounters. Big up to Encounters. But I think if you're not in that world, if you're not, you're
an avid filmmaker. You can force yourself in a way to come to something, don't you?
So, you know, it should be all inclusive. This is quite idealistic speaking. I'm sure there's all sorts of money problems. And
well, it's down to money and advertising, of course. That's the other thing is, but, you know, maybe no money in showing them. But.
Exactly. Because even saying, like, when Fix and Luca was when it was finished, because it's such a personal film and it is inspired by my family, like even just saying things to my family about like when can we see it, I'm like, well, you can see it at a film festival if it gets in, you know. So which is a shame, but no, it's obviously good when it gets into festivals, and I think that they're very important because networking and just meeting other people, I don't think there's a better place to meet other filmmakers than a film festival. But in terms of an audience for a film, like as bigger audience, I think you can certainly push it out more. Yeah.
So two final questions, really. First of all, what is next for you? And second of all, the question that is always asked, and I cringe sometimes, but it is, what advice would you give other filmmakers? You know, it's kind of a, I don't a standard one, I'm afraid.
That's okay. At least it wasn't choose three words to describe yourself.
That was coming after, yeah.
That's the worst.
But yeah, what's
next
for you?
Well, right now I'm developing a new short with B3 Media in London. So it's kind of a short film. It's called Talent Lab. It was a short film development scheme. And I haven't really been officially commissioned yet, but I've been developing a project, an animation and live action mixed project. Which I have to pitch actually in about
in
a
person?
Week and a bit of time. Yeah, next Tuesday I have to pitch it. So that's, you know, all that talk about not doing a pitch now is happening.
Good luck.
Thanks, I might need it. And just kind of freelancing as well. Writing, trying to write a lot more. And lots of freelancing, gotta pay the bills. So as an animator and illustrator and whatnot. Advice. Gosh, I don't know. I think maybe just keep. Who's this advice to?
Well, anyone that's thinking of perhaps making some short films, some animated films, who's either either just right at the start of their career or.
Okay, I'd say if you're right at the start of your career. I mean, I still am technically. I wouldn't say I've made it in any way or form, but I would say just keep being tenacious and keep applying to things. Also, just keep making stuff for the sake of making it. I think that's quite important. I should follow my own advice, because sometimes you get a bit wound up in real life business. You can't be, and I always see this thing, like people say, and I've just said it, keep making stuff. And then sometimes you've got to pay the bills and all that. But it's true, even if it's something really small, don't get wound up in making something epic. Just keep making. And probably take advantage of the internet. For sure. The amount of things I see, the amount of blogs and bits and pieces and work I see, which amazes me and just makes me think I should be doing the same, it's just such a good tool. Especially if you just want to be like an animator, you know, I think it's a good tool getting noticed. So,
do you have any resources, online resources that you recommend that you read or
I kind of
or even favourite animators and filmmakers?
There's a load. Filmmaker wise, Michel Gondry is the main.
I can see
influence.
That inspiration I think in there, is that right?
He's been quite a big influence. And I quite like Spike Jones and Charlie Kaufman. David Lynch, I quite like sort of weird warped things. Jan Slankmeyer, Brothers Quay, all the kind of Eastern European gods, you know, animation gods. Online, like this, I couldn't even begin to name all the websites I check. There's so many. Vimeo. I mean, I'm on Vimeo, so I sort of
just kind of looking around.
Yeah, when you kind of get shorts. There's actually a good website called Shorts of the Week, I think, or Shorts of the Day, and they highlight shorts, really good ones. So I think I will check that regularly. That's quite good to get a bit of inspiration.
Well, thank you for sitting down and having a chat, and have a brilliant brilliant encounters.
Thank you, you too.